Moncrief on News Talk.
And now, as you know, celebrities are mad keen to give their kids unusual names. Blue Ivy, Kal-El, Moon Unit, or just X. This is perhaps to project an image of how different they are to the rest of us, more bold, more creative. All of us Toms and Marys are a bit dull by comparison. But does giving a kid a weird moniker have an effect on them? And has this practice trickled down to thus ordinary folk? Could your child be sitting beside Angle Grinder or Earwax at school? Is the way we name our kids pretty arbitrary anyway? The journalist Jen Hogan has named quite a few kids in her day and joins us now. Afternoon, Jen.
Good afternoon, Sean.
So the really weird ones, have you seen any evidence of kind of really weird ones, you know, filtering down to kind of the ordinary level?
Well, I mean, I've heard a few pop stars now have, and Bear is really common, because I know that's some, Cheryl Cole, didn't she call her son Bear? And I've heard of a few Bears now. So you come across a few of those names, the pop stars, there's a few Whitneys and Britneys. I'm anticipating we'll see a lot more Taylors and coming days. You've seen that maybe cultural things impacting, cultural pop stars and celebrities, that's kind of impacting it. But there are a few people who copy it, and the likes of Harper, a few years ago when Victoria Beckham had Harper Beckham, that was really popular. And I would know a few little girls called Harper. So we're definitely following there. I don't know many named after fruit now, in all honesty. And I think most of us prefer not to name our children after the place where they were conceived, purely because we don't want to remind our offspring that their parents actually ever had sex, because that's just...
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's a very... telephone box. Port Marnock Strand, you know, that's kind of icky, really, if you think about it. Now, as an example, and I think probably everybody does this, because we do seem to have moved past the thing where it's after, you know, your favourite uncle or mm-hmm. a saint you admire or that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's still, even if they're normal names, they tend to be what's going on in the parents' life at the time. Would you say that's your experience?
I would. I have one named after Spider-Man. Now, he's very disappointed. He's not actually Spider-Man, but he's Toby, like Toby Maguire, with spelt like Toby as well, T-O-B-E-Y. It will be the bane of his life that he will have to spell his name forever. But we were totally influenced, or I was totally influenced by what was going on and who I admired. I have someone else named after a Jedi Knight, someone else named after a Liverpool footballer. He's a big Everton fan. We won't talk about Liverpool or Everton-Liverpool at the moment after last night's match. It's probably just safer and certainly less painful for me if we avoid it. But like, I call someone after Jamie Carragher. Who else did I? What else? Somebody else after a Home and Away character. And even, I suppose, to show you kind of there's a ranking in terms of what's acceptable. And I had decided on my daughter's name all along that I was going to call her Chloe, because Chloe was this lovely name I loved from Home and Away. And then when I was pregnant, Sonia in EastEnders had a baby and called her Chloe, and himself vetoed it because we weren't calling the baby after someone in EastEnders. That just wasn't happening. So EastEnders wasn't as socially acceptable as Home and Away was. Mm. Anyway, then he witnessed childbirth, the horror, the gore, the absolute trauma, the whole thing, and I could have called her She-Ra and not a thing would have been said. It wouldn't have mattered. So I got my name in the end. But I was totally like it the whole way through. The cleaning lady came in after I had my second baby, told me I was kind of deciding on two different names, told me her husband was a proper B, don't call him one of the names, because that was the same name that her husband had. And my own husband had gone out to tell my parents that they had a grandson. And he came back in and I had named my son after the other name, not her husband's name, because even though it was our first time meeting, her husband didn't sound great. So it vetoed that name. It's just amazing how many different things can influence you in making that decision. We have, who else have I got? I have to think, there's so many things.
Yeah, you have Zach Morris in the family.
We've Zach from Saved by the Bell. Yes, Zach. Saved by the Bell again. Another thing I loved growing up. And himself vetoed that one for a while. He thought it was a bit American, but eventually you get there, you know. And then I was laughing at my judgment, even thinking about, you know, the fruits and Gwyneth and Chris calling their children Apple and Moses. And I decided that Moses was too far back, obviously, in the Old Testament for me, but I was okay with Noah. So we went with Noah for somebody else after Your Man in the Ark, just because I thought it was a nice name. Also cropped up in Home and Away. But the names were very much influenced by the things that I was interested in and the things that drove it. And himself made a few suggestions. And obviously, I just said no to them because they didn't interest me. You know, and also I squeezed the person out, so you know.
Yeah, you get the casting vote.
I get the casting vote, yeah.
And so are all your kids happy with the fact that, you know, I happen to be going through a Star Wars phase, so I called you Luke kind of thing?
They are. I mean, it's grand. Do you know what it was? He's happy enough with that. The Everton fan, not so chuffed to be named after Jamie Carragher. Toby would just prefer if he had been called Spider-Man. He just thinks that was much cooler. And so he's a little bit disappointed. Sometimes we didn't fully commit to it. You know, he wasn't as impressed. But the rest of them are largely happy. We do have one who has the middle name of somebody who was my favorite pop star, who died a bit before I was pregnant on him. And we now just say that he's named after Uncle Michael.
Yeah.
It's just more not acceptable
the,
because rather than
Michael.
Yeah. And so yeah, that one's just easier. That's just easier kind of to go there.
Have all your kids got second names that, and did you decide those in the base as well in case they don't like the first one?
They have second names, and the first few they got named after relatives. You know, you got your names in there for your different relatives. Then I started running out of names because I had so many kids. So I started reusing my older kids' names as second names for the younger ones. I wish I was joking here, but it's actually the case that the sixth child has his brother, one of his brother's names, and the seventh child has another one as their second name. And yeah, we just kind of figured, also it was a nice tribute to their older siblings. That was the other way of thinking about it too, not just running out of names.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, one of mine, her middle name is Maggie. That's just after Maggie from The Simpsons. And another one doesn't have a middle name. We just forgot.
Well, that can happen. And you also have a fair few kids. So, you know, these things happen.
They do. But the one without the middle name never lets you forget it kind of thing. Do you think there's any kind of thing in, though, the kind of nominative determinism that if you're, you know, if you're given a kind of a masculine sounding name, you'll tend to be more masculine or any of those kinds of things?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's something to be said. Well, I don't know if the rest of us can manage to carry off fruit sounding names or things like that. I think there's something to be said for giving a name that's distinctive. It makes people remember you, you know, and if you're named after somebody who you admire, I don't know. I'm trying to think, does my son have an affiliation with Star Wars? They all do. And the other fella does love Spider-Man, in fairness, probably not as much as the brother who loved it at the time I named him. But I do think I think there is an advantage in having a name that's memorable. So I can see why somebody might choose something a little bit more outlandish. I think what's awful is when people interfere and start to try to influence you about the names that you've chosen. Like, I kept getting opinions on my names, and that's not something anybody wants. You know, you might offer it and share what you're considering, but like, people they pronounce the names with different accents so that I could hear how this wouldn't work. Because could you imagine if he was being called in for his dinner and you went full flat Dublin accent and what that would sound like, and that kind of an impression or another name that sounds a bit like what you'd call a dog, or there's a joke that's called it. They offer different thoughts on it, or that's very common, or that's it. And you know, you'll get different feedback like that, and I don't think that helps anyone at all. Because really, if you're sharing a name, you're fairly comfortable and confident that you like the name. You're not picking something out that you kind of hate and putting it out to somebody. Maybe if you're not a little bit sure, and you might look for some feedback. But if you share what you're thinking of, you're not asking somebody to come back and tell you every single thing that's wrong with it. And then there's always the people who you didn't ask their opinion anyway. You're just sharing maybe what you're going to call your kid, and they still give it to you. So
yeah.
I think the whole idea, I think we're very opinionated about what other people call their children. I think that's it's up to each individual to call their child what they think they want. And I know we joke there about that. Like, I do feel sorry for Brooklyn Beckham a little bit. I would prefer not to be named after, as I said, where I was conceived. And I imagine most kids would prefer not to have that constant reminder hanging over their head. But for the most part, the majority of parents are kind of, you know, sensible enough to know, does it go with the child's second name or surname? And like, I don't even think people consider, is there maybe 10 of that child going likely to be in the class? Because we do see kind of trends towards popular names. Whether a name will date or something is maybe something to think about. But when you look about it, names that we would have considered really old fashioned years ago, they're all coming back in, the kind of classic names. They're all really popular. The old fashioned names that we might associate with our nanas and our granddads and things, they're all kind of coming back now and they're all cool again. But you can definitely tell when a child was born in some situations from the name, like the Whitneys and the Britneys and the Shakiras and stuff. You'll know kind of typically what age their parents are by names like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Noah is a very hip name. Someone has texted in to say, I was so convinced I was having a boy, I picked the name Noah. When I had a girl, I was so shocked, but also so set on the name that my daughter is now called Noah. I love it as a girl's name.
I love it as a girl's name too. I actually love those names, you know, that you can use for both. Dara is another one that's gorgeous. Those names that you can use for boys or girls. I've heard Noah used as a girl's name too. And it's, I mean, I'm biased. I love it. It's for a boy in my house, but I love the name too. And I really like those names. I mean, it's a little bit of a pain for people if they're called Alex. Do they have to let people know it's Alex girl, Alex boy? Do they feel that they have to clarify things? Does it matter in certain situations? I don't know. But I think they're gorgeous names. I think they're really lovely, and it would certainly never put me off. Not that I'm having any more children. I've already done my bit for the impending pension crisis. But if I ever was to have it, I think that's those names that you can call either a girl or a boy are just gorgeous.
Yeah. Now, there may be one or two names. Now, for instance, Ed says, any parent who straddles their child with the name Dick should be sent to the war crimes tribunal in The Hague.
Yeah,
should we just get rid of the name Dick altogether?
I suppose, in fairness, there are certain surnames that are really unfortunate too, and that you can't really do anything about. But I suppose you do have that little bit of control, and words change meaning, I suppose. And we can't predict how a word will commonly be used in the future when it might have been a totally acceptable name in the past. It's not, you know, those things are hard. They're hard. But maybe that's another reason to stay. I mean, there's one name that would have been very common in the past now. But maybe it's time to go back. Maybe there's a case to be made there for not shortening names. My mother would definitely approve of that. Now, she's the only person who still calls me Jennifer.
Ah, right. So you were actually, I was going to ask you that. So you weren't always a Jen.
No, always. I was Jennifer. I still am Jennifer to my mother. Always. Like, she just refuses to shorten it. And I don't know. I just shortened it. I think everybody kind of does things with names, don't they? Mm. It seemed more friendly. And I'm quite informal by nature. And it's an informal name. And then you kind of get stuck to Jen. The difficulty in doing that is sometimes, particularly in my kind of professional life, sometimes it would be kind of nice to have your full name there. And you can't really go back because people know you as Jen. They don't know you as Jennifer. Who's Jen? I don't even know Jennifer. I've been sitting and I was getting my driving license renewed one time, and they called out. They were going, Jennifer Hogan, Jennifer Hogan. I'm sitting there going, Jesus, where is she? You know, looking around. No. It just didn't register. It was me because I'm so used to being Jen. So, and again, it was Jen rather than Jenny because my name beforehand ended with a Y and it didn't go together. And so there are all the things that parents are taking into account. How will this sound? But if in the future a child, and I think that's probably becoming a bit less common now. I think people don't change their name quite maybe as often as they might have years and years ago. You might predict if it was somebody who might change their name in the future, they might choose to change their name in the future. Would it go with another surname? That they're always the things that you can't predict because you just don't know what will happen. But another reason to maybe keep your own name.
Jen, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Jennifer Hogan there, the journalist and mother of loads of children with very nice names. John says, my wife's uncle, who lived into his 90s, was named Florence. Florence, and he still managed to live into his 90s. Why not call your child Senator, just to give them a head start? That's from Cortina Backrest. One thing I always wondered is, what if people with double barrel names, surnames, meet someone as adults who also has a double barrel surname? They'll have to keep they'll have to lengthen the birth cert in a few years if that keeps up. Yeah, that's excuse me. That's an interesting idea. What is that? Is there a protocol around that? Yeah, I assume each party drops a part of their surname. And how does that work? Mary says, I hate my name. I wish my parents put as much thought into naming me as Jen did for her children. Nothing wrong with it. Just bland, says Mary. Mary's a lovely name. And I would have thought nowadays relatively unusual. So you don't kind of meet many Marys now. Why can't we just be like George Foreman? He called his six sons George and his daughter Georgina. Says Mike, which I assume must be really confusing, and especially when it comes to the reading of the will. If they're naming their kids after where they were conceived, I'd say the name Bedroom is very offended. My son, born 18 years ago, I called him Didier, as his mum is French. I'm Irish, and my mother was up in arms. My sister said, why don't you call him Liam? I explained to my mother, Didier won't be the last strange name when he starts school, says Dermot in Wexford. And somebody else says, there's nothing wrong with being named after the place you were conceived. And that's from Nightclub Toilets.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.